It also means that our program can be quite eclectic. And I say that in a really positive way. I think sometimes galleries can fall into a trap of it all looking quite similar. And we thankfully don't have that issue.
To see the sort of change in the art markets, sort of demographic, have you noticed any of that? And have you noticed your collector changing?
It isn't for everybody. It's kind of like for professionals. It's for professional collectors, professional dealers, professional curators.
Stevenson is one of the South African galleries at the main part of Art Basel, and they've been there for quite a number of years, so it was lovely to sit down with Mark Barbin and hear of his experiences at Art Basel. Mark, it's so lovely to chat to you just before we go into Art Basel and, of course, the craziness of it. I'm also happy that you took time to speak to me because I know how much preparation goes into Basel. How are you doing?
Doing great.
When do you leave?
Joanne, tremendously excited.
Oh, good.
Leave on Friday. Okay. Start uncrating on Saturday, installing the booth on Sunday, and on Monday is the opening of Unlimited. So very excited.
Do you have any artists at Unlimited?
Not this year.
But you do enjoy Unlimited because that's... But I'm jumping sort of in at the end of it because I want to firstly start, I mean, Mark, with understanding how you fit into Stevenson. You're one of the directors here at Stevenson and you've been part of the gallery for how long?
I joined January 2012, so 13 years now. The gallery has an atypical ownership model. Normally, there's a dealer who has their name on the door and they are the gallerist, the principal. We are a collective of dealers. There are 11 of us, and we kind of came at different times. It begins with Michael Stevenson, who lends his name to the gallery and is the founder. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it was, maybe 2010, 2011, he opened up the ownership of the company to a group of directors. And how I understand that move, it's about kind of retention of talent in South Africa, unlike maybe London or New York, where you could find amazing art dealers on a labor market. Here, you really need to develop that skill set. And the risk of these developments leaving is just too great. And so I think Michael realized that he needed to hold on to these individuals and how to do that. Bring them into the fold. And so that is the gallery. We are a collective ownership, mm-hmm. which I think allows us to navigate quite a difficult environment with many eyes, with many brains, with many ears, and we do it collectively. It also means that our program can be quite eclectic, and I say that in a really positive way. I think sometimes galleries can fall into a trap of it all looking quite similar. And we thankfully don't have that issue.
You have a number of phenomenal artists who, I mean, Georgina Gratrex for me is one of the artists who I would say started and my interest initially into the contemporary South African or African art space. Tell me a bit more about the artists who you are taking to Basel.
We are taking a group. I think there are 16 artists in total. When I kind of grew up in the gallery and we would do these presentations, the kind of rule of thumb for Basel is something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And it very much is that. The something old is the one that I'm really excited by, which is a work on paper by Ernest Mancoba. It's dated 1947, and in my view, it is the kind of most illustrated and best cataloged with the best provenance of any work on paper to come onto the market, and we're very pleased to have it. We were able to find it on the secondary market a few years ago, and
And then started doing research on the thing, and we discovered some amazing facts about the work. It is an incredible exhibition history. It was on all of Ernest Mansgrober's shows. It was on the retrospective shows. And importantly, it was on an exhibition of Cobra artists in Paris in 1981. It's illustrated in the catalog, and it was the only artwork of his included on the Cobra show. So I am personally tremendously excited about that one. And so that's 1947. It's an historical artifact, and it has aura. And we'll show that something old alongside things that are new, that are made specifically for the fair by a number of our artists, including a wonderful painting by Penny Siopis, who, as I'm sure you know, just had this incredible retrospective in Athens. And beside me is a wonderful work on paper by Frida Oropabo. And we have an amazing work of hers that to me reads like an odalisque, like this female figure. It reads to me very art historically. Georgina Graftrix, a wonderful bouquet of flowers. I mean, she's so well known for her flower paintings, and we're very pleased to have one of those in our presentation.
She's currently in Milan.
She has just returned from Milan. She had a solo show with Monica de Cartimus, which I understand went tremendously well.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Again, as you said, it brings quite an eclectic mix to have so many minds coming together to decide what goes to Basel. Ernest Mansgrober, obviously, very, very big, big, I mean, he's just so iconic. You also do bring a number of artists from across the continent as well. Can you tell me a bit more about them?
Yeah, I think maybe one of the focal points of our presentation is going to be a large painting called Fighting Energies by Portia Zwavahera. And it's really special. It comes from her UK touring exhibition, having been at Kettle's Yard and the Fruit Market. And it was on the touring UK show. And we're very pleased to have it as a focal point of our presentation in Basel. And that is a recent work. And we're going to show it alongside something from 2005 of hers.
Yeah. Amazing. So would Hilton Nell fit into the something blue, or where would? Because I mean, that's been amazing to also watch the, you know, sort of the overlap between art and fashion, the iconic fashion show with Dior, and then watching how there's sort of this resurgence and interest in Hilton Nell. Could I call it that, or it's always been there?
I mean, Hilton, incredible, 84 years old now, and he continues to inspire us with incredible work. We have a group of his cat sculptures that we are showing at Basel. As you know, the Dior collaboration really put him at the forefront of people's minds. And I'm not sure if you saw any of the Dior stores this year, but many of the shop windows were decorated with these incredible cat sculptures of his. And I think that no place like Basel to present his works at this time. You can imagine so many of the people who are going to be walking through the fair having seen the window displays at Dior stores in high streets all over the world. And that's really exciting.
From Kalitzdorp to Basel, I mean, what a story.
But love it, love it.
Basel and your gallery, how have you seen it develop over the years? Have you seen sort of a new collector entering the marketplace? Because to me, it was interesting. I had a look, of course, at the UBS Art Market Report. And to me, to see the sort of change in the art markets, sort of demographic, have you noticed any of that? And have you noticed your collector changing?
Absolutely. When we started doing Basel, you know, there were basically no African galleries, and now, you know, that change is happening. Mm-hmm. We always love going to Art Basel. I mean, for me at least, it's kind of like Art World summer camp. Mm-hmm. It's a beautifully quaint, very small Swiss city, and so the art world descends on Basel, and when you leave the convention center at the end of the day, you enter this small city, you're constantly bumping into friends, colleagues, collectors, curators, other kind of players in this art world, unlike London, New York, Paris, where you exit to this great, grand, big city, and you kind of get lost in it.
No, Basel's contained. I think it does feel like a... Even city feels like a big word for Basel, because it really
does,
yeah. Is...
I wouldn't say town.
No, yeah. But it is... I think that's what I enjoyed as well, is you do see the art ecosystem up close and personal, because the city does lend itself to that. It's got a village environment. Do you ever take some of your artists across? I think it was John Baldessari. Please help me with a name there. But the art critic who said that artists going to an art fair, they say it's like watching your parents having sex. You know what's happening, but you don't want to see it, you know? Do you think that artists should attend fairs?
Gosh, it's a... I wouldn't say should or should not. I mean, it kind of like is what it is. But I can imagine for an artist, it being quite difficult to interface with a fair at the scale of Art Basel. I very much see it as a trade fair. And sometimes when you kind of bump into people and they don't know that I'm in the arts, and I say, oh, I'm going on Friday to Basel to do this thing, I might say it is a trade fair. It isn't for everybody. It's kind of like for professionals. It's for professional collectors, professional dealers, professional curators. And I can imagine it being rather overwhelming for most artists who don't really understand how that works behind the scenes.
I do want to ask you then. So you said some of the works were created specifically for Basel. What do the artists, how does one know what will do well at Basel?
It's totally random, Joanne. Mm-hmm. There's no knowing. Mm-hmm. You try your best, based on experience, to curate a presentation that is fulfilling mm-hmm. to the eye and to the mind. At the same time, for the galleries, it's a tremendous expense to play in that arena. Mm-hmm. And so it's a commercial exercise. You try and take things that can also be placed with collections who can be custodians of these things, and in exchange, they pay the asking price. But there's no rule, and it's definitely not a science.
For me, it's always interesting because Basel, all the socializing that happens around it, that to me, again, people do business with people they know.
Also.
And so to watch all of that happening, I suppose that leads me to the next question. What do you know now that you wish you'd known when you went to your first Art Basel that would have made it easier, perhaps?
You know, we've learned a lot. And I think definitely post-COVID, you know, during the pandemic, everything went online in a big way. And I think that all the galleries have learned a lot from that experience. Mm-hmm. How to juggle what you present digitally, what you present physically, because the logistics of getting things to Basel is also very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the art world is very much based on relationships. You know that, and sometimes you serve collections for a number of years and they may or may not result in a sale in Basel, but it takes years often. It takes a long time to get to the point where you've earned the trust of the collection to make that transaction happen.
I find it fascinating, and I'm very, very excited for Basel. Do you want to tell me a bit more? Are there any other artists that you want to mention who are going to be at your booth? I saw J9, if I'm not mistaken. Which booth are you at?
J9 indeed.
J9, yes. I've done my research.
I've got some books here. So okay. We've spoken about Penny and Portia and Frida. We've spoken about Hilton and Ernest Mancoba. In fact, there's a picture of the work that we are taking in this, which is the closest thing that we have to a catalogue resume on the artist. Jane Alexander, we've got a wonderful sculpture of Jane.
I think every young South African during the 80s growing up knew Butcher Boys. And every time I go to Iziko, I spend so much time there. What a powerful artist.
Indeed.
That stood the test of time. I think that was from her graduation show at Michaelis, if I'm not mistaken, Butcher Boys.
If not, the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what an incredible practitioner who's really kind of planted herself in our memories and our consciousness as people who engage art.
Yes.
Got a wonderful work of Simpiwe Nzubes, of a figure. And what I love about the painting is that it's got a little cat in it. And so that will hopefully play nicely with the Hilton Nell cats. Incredible painting of Tenjiwe Nikki Nkosi's.
Tenjiwe, to me, I think I bought like a little poster or something like that. One day when I'm big, I'd love to buy one of her works.
And she's been working in New York City for the last little while. Mm-hmm. And this painting, which is called Injury, comes from her time there. Mm-hmm. And Mwande Kazinzile. We've got a lovely oil and gesso and cow dung on canvas painting of his. And in our presentation, we also have something that we're showing digitally, which is a resale. And that's the borrowed element.
Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, yes.
Are wonderful paintings by Paulo Nazareth, the Brazilian practitioner who works across installation, painting, performance, video. And we've got wonderful paintings of his of kind of like seascapes, which is we're very excited to show.
That sounds super, super exciting. And again, for me, did I see Simpiwe at the Stellenbosch Triennale, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, he did a sculptural installation.
It's beautiful sculpture. That was sort of was looking out. It was done in all these corrugated iron pieces. Really, really beautiful installation. Fantastic. Mark, thank you so much for your time. I'm really excited to see you in Basel.
I look forward to seeing you there, Joanne. Fantastic.